In this half hour, there's a lot to talk about. I don't have a lot to say about any of it, but we got a looming shutdown. We got the use by some folks of the Charlie Kirk assassination, which is, of course, horrible, like any assassination, but the use of it to kind of justify some repression and bullying ABC and suspending Jimmy Kimmel, whose remarks were pretty weak.
Right.
I think he's
pretty vanilla at best.
I don't think he said anything real bad about Charlie Kirk, mm-mm. which, you know, nor will we. But he said some people are misusing this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they are. And they proved it by what they, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's back on, I gathered, last night and read a little bit about what he had said. This isn't as major, but it just strikes me the border czar, Tom Homan, they caught the guy taking money from undercover FBI people as a bribe. This was before he became border czar.
Oh, okay.
And they were going to, you know, do what they do about crimes like taking bribes. Prosecute the gentleman.
Prosecute him. Wow.
And guess what?
He wasn't prosecuted.
A new administration came in, and instead of being prosecuted for, near as I can tell, being caught dead to rights.
Yeah, a federal crime. Yeah.
Taking bribe. He was appointed to a powerful position where he could prosecute others.
Mm.
Trump's shift on the Ukraine, Trump's embarrassing performance at the UN, the use of Charlie Kirk, the shutdown fight, you know, there's just a lot, and a couple of local elections in Georgia and Arizona. Walt always laughs at me when I'm on with him and I mention those sorts of things. Well, they were what they were. But in neighboring Arizona, and this was completely expected, and I don't think it means much except for, you know, one consequence. But Adelita Grijalva won her her father's old seat.
Right.
And one of the consequences of that was it'll be one more vote to release the famous Epstein files.
Mm.
But, you know, it's one more congressperson who is not a fan of the current chief executive. In Georgia, and this is the kind of thing that pundits talk about, Walt gets mad at me if I mention it, but there was a seat that the Republican had consistently won by upwards of 70% of the vote every year, and the Democrats made a big push to do better, and so they had two new candidates, and the Republican, of course, won, but by 60 to 62% of the vote, somewhere in there, not upwards of 70. Whether that means anything, I can't tell. Because the Democrats put so much, I'm sure the Republicans did too.
Right,
but
absolutely.
Put so much effort into that. And that's just, I think, a state Senate seat. That's not even a
national
congressional seat. Hmm. So of all those things, what do you prefer to talk about or something else?
Well, you know, I'm not too sure. I guess we could start at the top just a little bit about
what is the top,
right? Well, but in terms of what you were talking about, too, the shooting death of Charlie Kirk,
yes.
And how that's created a lot of like unrest around the community and in different ways, right? And people having different responses, and then government having different responses.
What
to
are
that
your thoughts
as well.
On that?
Well, right. And so what I really wanted to sort of shine a light on the issue is just, again, just our political climate and how we are deciding as a society to solve those problems through violence, right? And that does happen, right? Around the world. This is not unique to us, and it's not too unique to our time. However, the very easily accessible, very heavy weapons and
Yeah, it's not unique to the U.S. or to the time, but there are aspects of it that are, if not unique, more extreme here. Obviously, as you mentioned, weapons are one that, you know, most in Japan, you go to jail if you possess a gun without a special permit and training. And I think we are in a terrible time of excess partisanship, which we and others talk about every week. It certainly is part of the gridlock in Washington. It's part of the terrible bad feelings where people on different political sides can't even talk to each other, which has not normally been true in our history. On the other hand, I would distinguish a bit, and I think, you know, we have to say the current occupant of the White House
fields
did
of
not
the fire.
Start that. Did not start that. He's right. not responsible for it, but he has sure aggravated it because he can't say, you know, Daisy, I think you were wrong with that. He'd have to say, Daisy, you are the worst co-host in the history of KTAL and any other radio station or television station on the planet.
Right.
Plus, you're ugly.
And you should be fired, right? How do we remove that person? Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm kind of the opposite. I talk with people whose views I loathe, and they loathe mine, and we say so. And then, you know, talk about our cats or our kids or whatever, you know, or play pickleball.
Yeah.
And I just don't, I've never understood, maybe somebody will call up and explain to me why it has to be so personal and so vicious. But separate from that, maybe, this guy who did the shooting, yes, he had some motives, and he'd apparently been a follower of a right-wing rival of Charlie Kirk, but he also had a roommate or lover who was transitioning to being a woman at this point, so he was unhappy with some of Charlie Kirk's views. But people who go and shoot people, for the most part, you know, their elevator didn't go all the way to the top. They are bent people. It's unfortunate. They can come from any background. You know, he obviously came from one, a MAGA background, but wasn't acting on MAGA views. So I guess I'm trying to say I would blame the current times, but I'd cut that with a little history lesson that, hey, this stuff happens in all times, and it's usually somebody who's a little nutty.
Well, right. There's something else, right? Something else is going on. And I guess just for me, it just, again, because there's been some pushback, right? Initially, some folks came out saying, you know, well, you know, Charlie Kirk's views and sort of, I'm not saying this, but but that he had it coming, right? Like, because of his views. And then it's like, oh, no, you can't say that because...
And you shouldn't say that. I mean...
He's a person and he has a right to his own views and opinions, which is all true. And I was trying to get at as well is just in terms of solving our problems or our disagreements. Shooting and killing somebody should not be a solution on the
and here's,
on the problem solving.
If there's anybody out there thinking about killing anybody,
right? No.
Here's an object lesson for you. I never heard of Charlie Kirk, or at least didn't remember if I had.
Likewise, actually.
Until he got shot.
Right.
And then he was big news.
Right.
And I had no idea who he was or what his views were or whether he was a nice guy or not or anything. I don't remember hearing the name. And now he's a saint.
Mm.
Whether
for
he
some,
deserved to
yeah,
be
for
or
some
not.
Folks, yeah.
But some, well, there even, I don't know if, did you read about the, I guess he's the bishop for New York?
Wow. No, I did not read that. Wow.
He went on a podcast or big radio station or somewhere in an interview and compared Charlie Kirk to Saint. He's our modern Saint Paul.
Wow.
And the Vatican is appalled. Supposedly they're going to replace. And he's been. I've heard of him before. He's been said some odd things or maybe things that you know, mm-hmm. a Christian might not want to say. But, well, he is being compared to saints. Mm-hmm. They are. There's an Oklahoma state rep who's, I think, or maybe it's a U.S. rep saying they're going to do this, but they're going to put a Turning Point group in every high school. He wasn't a saint. He was, you know.
That's concerning.
He was a passionate Christian. I would have loved to have him on the show and talk about the difference between his hatred of a lot of people and his bad-mouthing of a lot of people as people, because they were different or had different views. And I see a huge difference between that and what Jesus had to say, which was mostly beautiful. I would have loved to discuss it with him. Somebody shooting him is just wrong, and all they accomplish is, you know, it's being used, of course, by our government as a repressive tool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jimmy Kimmel really, I didn't hear but what I have read about what he said sounds pretty mild. Nothing bad about Kirk, just something bad about the people using his death for political purposes, which they are. I mean, he was a guy acting alone. All his motives we may not know for a while, right wing and left wing and culture wars. But to use that as a, you know, and Trump pronouncing that he's going to go hard on left wing groups,
mm-hmm.
which means anybody who doesn't agree with him.
Right. Essentially, yes.
So if you're thinking about shooting somebody, it usually, as Jimmy Kimmel said, I think, about Trump's pushing at him, it fails bigly.
Right. Counterproductive. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just wrong. And the other thing
Of course.
You know, I'm old enough. I was in the civil rights movement as a kid, and I was in the anti-war movement before mm-hmm. most people thought the Vietnam War was a huge mistake and an injustice. And I certainly got threatened. Certainly got minor things done to me. But it gave me a feeling for, you know, if you speak out in this country and others, perhaps, but particularly in this country, you could get shot. So that gives me a sympathy with Charlie Kirk, whether I agree with his views or his methods or anything else. You know, all of us who take unpopular views unpopular with someone.
Right. Right. And and say them publicly. Yeah. So there's you could have a target. Yep. I would agree with that.
So that's all I know to say about Charlie Kirk. We are maybe going to face a shutdown. We often come close. This seems more likely. It always, gets scary because the shutdown will have serious effects on some people and annoying effects on others. If you work for the government, forget about it. If you run a shop near a national park, you might be in trouble.
Yeah. If you receive services from the government. Right,
if you're mm-hmm. getting a Social Security check because you're old, like I am, you'll probably get it. You might be delayed. But if you're applying right now, good luck, because it'll take a while. Anyway, it will affect people, and it will hurt the country financially and the people. It seems more likely this time, partly because Mr. Trump's in the White House and he may think it benefits him somehow.
Mm-hmm.
It usually doesn't. Usually the blame rests on the party that has the control of Congress and or the presidency, as the Republicans do, or the blame lays on the party perceived as being, by the public, as being the most resistant rigid.
Yeah, less reasonable.
And, of course, what happened recently that may change is the Democrats asked to meet with Trump, Democratic mm-hmm. congressional leaders, and he agreed, and then he canceled it.
Right.
That is not a good sign if you're hoping we don't have a shutdown.
Yeah. Well, and I'm just curious, too. I mean, just even that move, like, why would he cancel, you know, what is the, again, what benefit does he have? Is he just trying to show power that he can sort of play with folks, or is it some sort of political move and, you know, trying to keep people, at, you know, certain, like, you know, a certain distance from him to sort of force their hand, like when they able to meet, and then they just sort of succumb to his
I'm guessing,
decision.
Of course, but I don't think it's merely to show power. I think there was I'll bet advisors, and he concluded that it was one of those things where the only two results are bad, or I mean,
it's all bad. It's always all bad.
Basically, what's going to happen? Either he's going to make concessions he doesn't want to make, or he's not, and the Democrats have a platform because this is a newsworthy event, and they use it to attack him unfairly, in his view. So why do it? Why have it at all? I don't want to compromise with them. If I have a meeting, then either I'm going to compromise, which I don't want to do, or I'm going to get bunch of headlines that we met and I didn't compromise. Better, I can't make it because I got to go to, you know.
Play golf.
Yeah. I got to go to England and I got to go to the UN.
Right.
Somebody got a communication from a European congressperson or whatever. Saying, don't the Americans realize how embarrassing this? Because Trump goes to the UN,
yeah,
and he lambastes the UN. He spends a lot of time bragging about having basically solved or stopped 7 wars, which is, you know, somewhat of an exaggeration.
Total exaggeration.
Well, I think there's a little bit of truth to it because he helped Azerbaijan and the other country beginning with A right near it, you know, solve their problems. But he of course says things like the Ukraine and Gaza aren't his fault. Anyway, and then he goes on and on about, you know, how great he is,
right,
and how their countries are all going
his
to hell
usual.
Because and the
his
climate
usual.
Most of the world is concerned about climate craziness, and they're noticing that, hey, my cousin just got flooded and his kids killed by the Guadalupe River. Maybe there's something to this climate madness thing, and we ought to think about doing something, you know, even if it's not all our fault, it's happening. And he's, it's our biggest fraud ever against nations. Industrialized nations shouldn't be slowing down for that.
Well, back to the first remark, don't the Americans, are they embarrassed? Yes, I would say.
Well, some of us.
Incredibly embarrassed that is the person that is leading our country and goes, you know, to other countries representing our people. And I know that I have plenty of friends who've, you know, traveled here and decided to make the U.S. their home or just visiting. And they said, why aren't you guys doing anything about it? You know, why don't you do this or why can't you do that? And it's like, well, as much power as the electorate has, right, once somebody's there, they're there. And there's not... not much we can do to try and stop them.
I think our embarrassment is shared by a much higher percentage of Trump voters than we realize.
Okay.
In that, you know, so many people, you know, including some folks who've been guests on this show.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know there's one fellow who was on this show once. And he, you know, he'd been reading my columns, and he's very right wing, and hated me, and it wasn't a good discussion because he just kept, yammering at me. Well, my wife said she'd leave me if I ever had him on the show again. But we communicate you know, in a friendly way about other things, or he sent, yeah. And I saw something that he sent out recently that, you know, although he's, you know, he agrees with almost all Trump's mm-hmm. policies mm-hmm. or the Republican policies, he's very conservative and had been defending Trump for a while. He sent something out about the chaos of the current resident of the White House and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And several others have said to me, you know, hey, I'm not even going to try to defend his manner or him as a person or how he does things, but I agree with him. We have too many immigrants. We're not dealing with crime as hard as we should, blah, blah, blah.
Interesting.
They used to say, well, he can manage the economy.
Right.
I don't hear that right. as much these days.
Right. Well, right. And we're 9 months in, right? We're 9 months into this.
Yes.
8 months into this debacle. Well, and the other thing, just, I mean, in terms of Trump, and remember way back when we were talking about Doge and federal cuts and employees, you know, being fired and mm-hmm. the entire reduction of the federal workforce. Well, I guess that they're asking some people to come back. So, yeah. Well, the General Services Administration, I guess, was just left in total disarray. And so they have actually asked people to return to work. And so basically being on vacation for 7 months on, you know, a paid vacation. Yeah. And now they want them to come back to work. I thought that was
fiscally
very interesting.
Highly responsible.
Absolutely. I think that we should trust him with all of our money. All of our money decisions and all of our administrative yeah. decisions.
I noticed a headline today that Graham, who's was a respectable senator, is saying he would favor a third term for Trump. I didn't read the story. Have time to read the story because I was doing a bunch of other stuff, but I hope he qualified it with if we do a constitutional amendment in the meantime.
Right, yeah.
Because,
total anarchy, right.
It's funny because there's a lot of stuff that's interpretation, like the way gun rights have expanded incredibly from what they were thought to be by courts for 200 years, or abortion, which is not mentioned in the Constitution. But there's other stuff it's real clear about. One is if you're born here, you're a citizen. Mm-hmm. I don't find that hard to understand. I understand the argument that, well, we should change it because that was written at a time, you know, the Constitution was written at a time when a lot of people, including, I think, George Washington, were born elsewhere in the U.S., because we hadn't been a country till then. The argument that you should change it, but the argument that we should ignore it is a little different. And the same with the amendment saying Mr. Trump can't run a third time.
Right.
I mean,
right.
I have a feeling what they may do is, you know, run somebody as president and Trump
proxy.
As vice president.
Yeah.
I haven't read the amendment, so I don't know if it precludes. You know, if I were writing it, it would preclude. I mean, the intention was to prevent what may happen now.
Yeah.
They should have included that he can't run for vice president either, but I don't think they did. I'll have to reread it.